one year we were living there, and I came home, and we're actually living in a portion of the church at that point in time, and my wife said, we're going to get an air conditioner tonight. And so we went and we bought the biggest window unit that we could get. It was a necessity. I say all that to say this: if you are in Florida and your AC is not working, you need to, if you're in Central Florida anyway, give Bill Andriac a phone call at 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284, here in central part of Brevard County, because it can be life-threatening type heat if you are not prepared for that. My wife and I, we took a trip about a week and a half ago for our anniversary, and the vehicle we drove didn't have air conditioning. And, you know, as long as you were going, as long as you were moving, that was okay. But if you ever came to a standstill like we did in the middle of the state, when they had the road shut down unexpectedly to one lane, it gets pretty hot, pretty miserable, pretty quickly. And we don't want you to find yourself in a life-threatening situation. So if you are going someplace, you know, make sure that you're able to get there safely and with cool temperatures. I just want to throw this warning out there to you, because it is so hot. Please do not get in the car, and make sure that you have every family member accounted for. Double and triple check your car. We live such frenzied lives that sometimes people go and they forget and that they've got family members in there, and that can be very, very dangerous and life-threatening. Don't let that happen. So thank you to Creative AC Solutions for making life possible and enjoyable here in Central Brevard County. We are very, very grateful. I want to take just a little bit of time and invite you out to Merit Assembly of God this Sunday morning. Do not have service on Sunday night, but invite you out to church this Sunday morning for Father's Day. We are going to be having some gifts that we give to the men in the church. We will have some door prizes, and just all around going to celebrate the men that God has blessed Brevard County with. They are a gift from God, and we have some phenomenal men at Merit Assembly of God that causes serving there to be a whole lot easier and a whole lot more enjoyable because of the quality of men that God has raised up. And I read a headline earlier this week, and it wasn't a news headline, it was an email headline, articles about ministry that they send to me, and it said, I've been doing this series called Merit Assembly of God is the spiritual hospital. Just preached on that this last Sunday, another sermon in that series. And on Monday morning, I received this email blast, and it said, the church is a spiritual hospital, not a country club. And a church without broken people is a broken church. That was the headline. And I'm very thankful. We don't have any perfect people at Merit Assembly of God, but we do have people who are in the perfecting process. God is working on them, and we're very grateful. No matter where a person is in their line of discipleship, as long as they are moving further and closer to Jesus, that is what we are looking forward to seeing. I want to take you back to 2 Peter chapter 2 today. 2 Peter chapter 2. We are talking about deliverance. And deliver us from evil, deliver us from the evil one. In Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer segment of the Sermon on the Mount. And I'm just going to tell you this. I was overwhelmed with the depth of revelation that the Word of God has when it concerns this concept of deliverance. And we're going to discuss some of the positive sides, some of the negative sides. We're going to pay attention to that. We're going to study it. But I can tell you this, that my jaw kind of like hit the table when I got into this, compiled the research, and then started organizing and putting it in some sort of digestible study format. It is it is a lot more overwhelming than I realized it was going to be. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 18. For when they speak, this is talking about people who are not godly examples or influences, but people who are trying to derail others spiritually. Verse number 18, for when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. Today I want to talk to you about this precious thing that God has delivered to us and the target or the purpose that the enemy has for his operation in our life. He will try and bring ungodly people into your sphere of influence, your sphere of community, and he doesn't have noble means. He's got very destructive purposes in store for that. And so Peter begins to write, and he talks about that they will be very articulate. It says, when they speak great swelling words of emptiness. There may be people who can spin a word very artistically, very craftily. They can speak with elegance, eloquence. Never substitute the wrong word for the word they're actually trying to think of, like I just did. There can be people who can spin a combination of words, and they will, and it will captivate the audience. I want you to understand that being a very articulate speaker is a wonderful thing if you're doing it for the right reason. I'm not here to try and impress you with my verbal skills. That's not what I'm here for. My goal has always been to take the gospel and make it as simple as I possibly could so that people could understand it, so they could embrace it, they could apply it to their lives and reap the benefits of it. That's what my goal is. I don't get paid any more for using multiple syllable words or single syllable words. It doesn't matter. The reward that I have is that if somebody gets the message and says, you know what, I want that word living in my life. So it says that they are very eloquent and that they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. Do you realize that God has delivered us? If we are believers, he has delivered us, actually delivered us from those who live in error. You and I are called to walk in the truth, to live in the truth, to love the truth, to experience life abundantly, jubilant life. That's what God has called us to. But in order to live the way that God wants us to live, he had to deliver us from a lifestyle of error. He had to deliver us from a lifestyle of deception, from a lifestyle of bondage, from a lifestyle where others were manipulating us to try and get us to serve their means. So as we're rapidly approaching Independence Day, thank God that you have been delivered from some mistakes. You know, I've got this saying that I tell the church, and that is, I believe when we get to heaven, we're going to see that God intervened in our lives a whole lot more than we really recognized. I know I look back on an event in my childhood, and, you know, at one point in time, I was almost embarrassed by that particular act until I was praying about that much, much later on in life, and God let me know that that act, that of act of deliverance on that day was not something trivial that even back then the devil was trying to undermine and derail the purposes and plans of God for my life. And so I'm very thankful for God's deliverance. And so do not be enticed just because someone has a platform and has the ability to use their mouth to lead people into, let's see what it talks about here, doing things for the lusts of the flesh. We've talked about that the things of the flesh war against the things of the spirit. So don't be enticed by somebody who says, oh, this way is a much easier way. I thank God for the lifestyle of holiness that we have the privilege of using our bodies as temples of the Holy Spirit, as instruments of righteousness, not unrighteousness. It says here that as a believer, there is an acknowledgement by those who are still under the control of the kingdom of hell that we have actually escaped by the blood of the Lamb. But as a result of escaping, we have been targeted to be reclaimed. We need the grace of God just as much after salvation as we did for the act of salvation. It is not only saving grace, it is sustaining grace. So thank God for that. Verse number 19 says, while they promised them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. So we have been delivered from a life of bondage of purposes that have been corrupted, of health that has been compromised, of relationships that are that the devil will try and corrupt and pollute and to destroy. So it says, by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. So you have to realize here that the kingdom of hell is still very much targeting, bringing you, bringing me, bringing as many people that have been set free back into a lifestyle of bondage to be corrupted from God's holy purpose to serve an unholy purpose. I will tell you this. You are not meant to be mastered or controlled or subdued by anyone but Jesus. There is no greater love that you and I are supposed to have in our lives than for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He needs to be and desires to be our foremost priority. And we need to make sure that anything that is trying to dethrone him so that it can assume the throne room, you just want that out of your life. You want it completely and totally out of your life. And so I told the church that I got rid of some of the apps on my phone. I don't have anything bad on my phone, but I had some news applications that I could log on to, and I described to a person in our congregation, these are the types of articles that I read. They're social statistics and things like that. They're things that give me pertinent information. They keep me informed on the events that are transpiring in our community and on our nation and around the world. But I got to the place where I felt like that app was more easily and more readily accessed than the throne room of heaven. And so I got rid of the app. It doesn't mean that I'm going to go and bury my head in the sand. It's just that I'm not going to have that thing control me. God is the one who orders my steps and directs my path. And so you need to realize when people or things that are marketed are trying to control you, it might be a habit, it might be a substance. Don't let that thing have control of your life. It wants to bring you back into bondage, and Jesus wants to provide you liberty. Verse number 20 says this, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning." So we see that the way of escaping from this lifestyle of error, or escaping from being slaves of corruption, or escaping the pollution of this world, being delivered through that, the only way that deliverance is possible is through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice it says Lord and Savior. A lot of people want him to be Savior, but they haven't matured yet to that place where they want God mandating the freedom in their life. You see, the liberty that is made possible for believers is the freedom to be able to live the way that God wants us to live. The bondage that the enemy wants to bring us into is the bondage that prevents us from becoming the person God wanted us to be, fulfilling the purpose that God had for us before the foundations of the world, and the relationships that we are meant to touch and influence now as a born-again believer. All of those things the enemy wants to come and try and inhibit. So if you and I are constantly growing in our knowledge of the Lord, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are going to continue to find ourselves walking victoriously, walking successfully, walking with influence, and that is a great, great thing. Don't allow the enemy to drag you back. I could ask a question right now, and that is this: how many times have you been tripped up by the exact same circumstance in your life? And you, like Paul, say, the things that I want to do, those are the things I don't want to do. The things that I don't want to do, those are the very things that I do. That is a frustrating way to live. That's where the enemy wants you to live. Jesus wants you to be constantly growing in him, hiding his word in your heart that you will not sin against him, living life on a steady, smooth path, a narrow path, instead of a rugged and dangerous terrain. He says that to become a believer and then to backslide, to become entangled again with the things that brought you into captivity and sought to destroy you the very first time, said that condition is worse from the beginning. There's a lot of people that say, well, then I tell you what, I just need to know the bare minimum because I don't want to be in that condition of worse. Well, that's immature thinking. And the reason that you and I need to be constantly growing in him, we need to realize that the reason that a condition of falling away from our first love with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, falling away from our love for God, is that once we fall away, we already know many things. We've already heard the scriptures, and they don't pull on the strings of our heart the way that they used to. And God wants you to know there's still grace to forgive. He doesn't want us relapsing back into our bondage. Here's the ultimate target. Verse number 21 of 2 Peter chapter 2. "For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them." I had a minister, he's since gone on to be with the Lord, but he had a ministry where he ministered to believers who had fallen back into sin. That was what he did. It wasn't just ministers, it was believers, but sometimes it was ministers. And they said, whenever we have a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ that is being referred to us, our staff immediately stops everything because we realize that we are getting ready to be in our most intense spiritual firefight that we've ever been in, because this person not only knows the word of God, they have instructed others. They just aren't living with the word of God manifesting in their life the way that they know that God could do it, the way that he's done it in other people, and they just are a very difficult person to reach. But thanks be to God that it is not impossible for us to be forgiven our sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So today I want to focus on the end part of verse number 21. And it says that the enemy's target is to turn us from the holy commandment delivered to them. The holy commandment that had been delivered to them. I want to ask you right now, what are some of the words that God has spoken over your life? I had a person earlier in the week that said, "Pastor Bob, God spoke to me like he's never spoken to me before." And it's so exciting to watch spiritual breakthrough take place and maturity taking place in people's lives. And so hearing the word of God, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, and having a divine mandate from him is very exciting. I just want to ask you this. How's your alignment with that word? How's your alignment with the word, holy word, that God has delivered to you? I want to declare today that thus saith the Lord should have more weight, more power, more authority than any other voice or any other word. So many times, listen, you are listening to a person that was raised as a child and spent a good portion of my life trying to please people. And I mean, I found that to be a losing proposition, by the way. You're not going to be able to make everybody happy all of the time. So I need to be much more focused on the obedience and pleasure that I bring to God by staying true to the holy commandment that God has delivered to us. Do you have a thus saith the Lord in your life? I love having a proper inclination toward the word of God. I want to be inclined toward obedience instead of inclined towards disobedience. I want to be inclined toward treating that word as a precious gift from God than be inclined to thinking, oh, well, it is just a book. I mean, if I showed you my Bible right now, I've got a brand new preaching Bible that my wife got me for Christmas. It is a duplicate of this Bible that I have now. It's the same size. It's the same print. It's the same cover. But if I showed you the Bible that I'm using right now, it is a faithful sword of the Spirit that I just love. I mean, it almost takes more care right now to carry this Bible than I really ought to be showing it. I because it's just that God has poured so many things into my life through this Bible that I don't want to forget them. I don't want to ignore them. And I certainly don't want the enemy to try and turn me from the word that God has given me. I want to be like Samuel. I don't want to let a single word from God fall to the ground. I want to encourage you today, if you want to stay on the path, stay true, Stay true to the word that God has given to you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
As we come today, we remind ourselves of what we do. That these songs are not just songs, but signs of love for you. As we come today, we remind ourselves of what we do. That these songs are not just songs, but signs of love for you. This is a holy moment now. Something of heaven touches earth. Voices of angels all resound. We join their song.
We will run through your gates. Oh.